Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the very beginning of the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I want to tell you about a tree that is here in Connecticut. Have any of you ever heard of or seen the Pinchot sycamore? You familiar with that? Okay. The Pinchot sycamore is in Simsbury. It's an immense sycamore tree. In fact, it is so big that I suspect this sanctuary might not even be able to contain the circumference of this tree's crown. It is absolutely immense. It is the largest tree in Connecticut. Not just the largest sycamore, it's the largest tree. The trunk, without exaggeration, is bigger in diameter than this pulpit area. And I don't know how many people it would take to put their arms around it. It is just an absolutely immense thing. And to see that tree and to stand by it, stand under it, especially when it's in leaf, is a religious experience. It really is. It's an ancient tree. It's estimated to be about 400 or 500 years old. And it is right by the Farmington River. It's not quite in the village or the center of Simsbury. It's a little bit on the outskirts of town. Has its own little park. There are several other sycamores nearby in the same park that are offspring, that themselves are getting pretty beefy. So if you're ever up in Simsbury and you have an extra half an hour or so, I'd recommend that you go up there and you see this tree, because it just has to be experienced. Now, the reason that this tree is a sycamore is by the river. Of course, obviously, half a millennium ago, a seed landed there and started to grow. But sycamores like water. They tend to draw a lot of water, so it's right by the river. I thought of this tree, considering this psalm for today, which gives us a wonderful image that we see elsewhere in the Old Testament. I think it's in the prophet Jeremiah that we find a duplication of the psalm. And the image of a tree comes in the context of thinking about those who rely on God and those who don't rely on God. Now, one thing to note is that generally when people, especially in the Psalms it seems, when they were talking about themselves, tended to put themselves in better light, and so you have in this psalm the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. I have to admit that one frustration I have with the Old Testament at times is that there sometimes is a bit too much categorization of who is good and who is bad, and that part of this psalm is a good example of that. But we'll put that aside. We're not going to think of other people as wicked. But the contrast here is still a good one. The contrast between those who live their lives relying upon God and those who don't. And we'll not make any value judgments on that, but simply to think about what it is to live a life relying on God. Full stop. Now the contrast is between those who do rely upon God and those who don't. The comparison is this: those who do rely on God are like a tree planted by the water. And those who don't live their lives relying on God are like chaff, which blows away in the wind. Chaff, of course, is the result of the threshing of wheat, something that we don't really have any connection with anymore, but farmers throughout most of history would be familiar with that. You do that on a windy day on a threshing floor, and the wind blows the chaff away because that's just the husks that at the time was not felt to be good. And you're left with the grain that falls to the ground because it's heavier. Well, the reason the chaff blows away is because it has nothing to hold it in place. I thought about a parable of Jesus in connection with this. And I can't remember where it is offhand. It's in one of the four Gospels. That much I can tell you. The parable about the building of houses. If you think back about the parable, where Jesus says that there were once two people that built a house, and one of them built a house on a solid rock foundation. The other one built a house on sand. And as long as the weather was good, those houses were fine. But when the storms came, the house that was built on the rock was able to withstand the wind and the rain. The house that was built on sand came crashing down because it didn't have a solid foundation. Jesus, of course, in this parable is not speaking specifically about this psalm, but I'm sure that he was familiar with the psalm. This is the opening of the book of Psalms. And he knew about that contrast of living our lives with God as a foundation. So what this psalm is about is not about what life is like when things are good, although it can be. It is a comforting image to sit under a tree like the Pinchot sycamore and enjoy a picnic lunch, which I'm quite certain people do, and hear the motion of the water in the river nearby. It'd be a wonderful thing to do for an hour or two on a nice summer day. But that's not when things get tested. Things get tested when it seems like life isn't all that good. And that's when the foundation of something really gets pushed. And that's when you find out whether the tree is firmly rooted in the ground or not. So what the psalm is really about is how we are invited to live our lives simply by our own wits, or to be like a tree that is rooted in the ground that will not blow away no matter what rails against it. Sometimes in other parts of the country, not as much here, but in other parts of the country, you'll see trees growing in difficult places. Anita and I were out in California last fall and had a chance to drive through southern Utah, which I'd never been to, and were astonished with the beauty and the sparse character of the landscape. And we saw trees that were growing in what would seem to be the most impossible of places, on top of rocks, with just the base of the tree coming down to the rock and no visible crack to hold that tree in place. Just simply like somebody had just placed it, poof, right on top of the rock. Obviously a tree like that is probably one that doesn't need a huge amount of water. But if you tried to move a tree that is firmly rooted like that, it's not going anywhere. But when you have a tree beside water, you get this feeling of nourishment, of completion, of wholeness. It is a good feeling. Which is why I think that you see trees used so often in advertising. Think about it. I keep kind of in my head sort of a collection, sometimes I actually snag these online, of pictures of how trees are used in advertising. You'll see trees used for all sorts of things as logos for services or companies that have absolutely nothing to do with trees. Like financial services, the implication that that they're going to grow your money and it's going to be big like a tree. Or retirement communities that probably have trees on their property, but that's about the extent of the comparison. And various other things. Because trees give people a sense of wellness, of wholeness, of completion, of safety. And if that tree is growing in a good place beside the water, then maybe the place where it is growing is a good place. So we can think in terms of our own faith and use this image of being like a tree, whether things are good or things are not so good, to be like a tree that is solidly rooted in the ground near water, where it can sustain life. And it is a very good thing. But we can also think about what this image of a tree can say about how we choose to live out our faith. Living out our faith, of course, is not just simply a matter of being a good person and going to church on Sunday and being good to your neighbors. That's important. But I'm thinking when we make choices about how to witness to our faith in ways that may cause us trouble. During the Civil Rights era, there was a song, and we still hear this, the song, I Shall Not Be Moved. I don't know if you've ever, Mary, if you've ever done, have we ever done that here? No? Okay. Well, it's kind of a folk song. You can play it on guitar. And one of the lines is that, like a tree standing beside the water, I shall not be moved. Now, if you're thinking in terms of the civil rights movement, the pictures that come up are people sitting at lunch counters, right? Or standing at the foot of a bridge. Or standing in a line of people protesting. Singing the song, I shall not be moved. That song, based on this song, is a statement of faith that I know what I am doing is what God is calling me to do, and that God is going to be with me despite anything. In the case of the civil rights movement, fire hoses or dogs. Despite whatever might rail against me, I will be here. So come back to the image of the tree. That big tree is not going anywhere. And things rail against it. If you think back to Snowtober, do you remember Snowtober? Where you got about 4 foot of snow down here in Connecticut, we got 10 inches up in New Hampshire. But that was a bad storm, wasn't it? My brother told me that the streets in Meriden, where I grew up and where he still lives, the main streets in town weren't plowed for several days. It was so bad. It was an awful storm. And so many trees came down in that storm. I'm sure here in Rocky Hill, didn't a lot of trees come down? Well, the Pinchot sycamore also suffered some damage. Part of the crown, because it was still in full leaf, like most of the other trees around here. But what fell off was at the top of the crown. So the tree is still there. It's fine. It didn't move. For many deciduous trees, not all, but many, the deciduous trees are the ones that lose their leaves in the fall, and then they go into dormancy, and then the new set of leaves come back and they grow again. For many trees, especially ones like the sycamore, what you see above ground is only half of the tree. The root system of a tree, such as the Pinchot sycamore, is as big as what you see above ground. A tree like that is not going to be moved. But the root system, if you think back to your high school biology, the root system does two things. It brings water and nutrients to the tree, but it also holds it in place. It has a firm foundation. The trees that blow over in a bad storm are the ones, and you can see them, they have a shallow root system. In this part of the world, hemlocks. Hemlocks have a very flat root system. They don't put down a big taproot. And they're probably the first trees to get blown over in a storm. But we live our lives relying on God and open to the world, knowing that we do so from a position of safety and of security. We can open to the world and to be the branches that bear fruit. It's easy when you face adversity, whatever it is, to cut yourself off from life because of stress or anxiety and worry. We live in an age of worry and anxiety. But what we're called to do as a church is to be like this tree by the water, that in spite of the things that we worry about, to extend ourselves into the world, to bring the love of Christ to a world that needs that love so desperately. And to remember that just as we are rooted and grounded in God's love, so are all of our sisters and brothers in Christ, and we are all connected together. Amen.